How many of you get the Lancaster paper? Any of you? There's Cindy. She's like, I live in York, Jeff. I don't get the Lancaster paper. So for all of you York people, I want you to see the headline for Tuesday's paper this week. Feral cats spark debate. Trap, neuter, release strategy has friends and foes. There's this cat rescue organization in Lancaster that they trap wild cats, they then neuter them, and then they release them back into the wild. I'm not going to ask you your opinion on this cat rescue organization. I'm not even going to ask you your opinion on cats. I happened to get the Tuesday paper, which is my study day, and as I was reading about these people who give their time, their energy to rescuing cats, to have them neutered, and then be released back into the wild, here was one of my thoughts. Each of us have been created in the image of God. Part of being created in the image of God is that we were created to give, that we were created to live for a cause greater than ourselves. Each of us have been created with the desire to make a difference, to make our lives count. And because of that innate desire within each one of us, people live out that desire, that passion that God has placed in our hearts in all sorts of different venues. Here at Community Bible Church, we've just begun a series, The Value of an Ordinary Life. Last week, we talked about the fact that God wants to use each one of us, that He chose us to be part of His family, to be on His team, and that He wants to use our ordinary lives for extraordinary purposes. By extraordinary purposes, we're not talking about something big, something glamorous, but the fact that God wants to use us for eternal, His eternal kingdom, to make a difference that goes beyond this life, beyond this world. And it's also extraordinary because the God of the universe, who created you in your mother's womb, created you for specific purposes and specific assignments. Hopefully last week, you were able to process, and hopefully that motivated and encouraged you to begin to think about, what has God created me to accomplish? This week and the remainder of this series, we want to focus on the how-to. In other words, if God wants to use my ordinary life for extraordinary purposes, what's that going to look like? How do I align my life? How do I live my life so that God can use me for extraordinary purposes? As we think about that, the place we need to begin is in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus was very clear about the mission that He gave to His disciples. As He had went through His death on the cross, He resurrected, as He was getting ready to ascend into heaven, and He was leaving behind these 11 disciples to carry on His mission on earth, He was very clear to them what that mission was, what that cause was that He created them to live for. Follow along as we read Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Some of you this morning, this passage is very, very familiar to you. And the problem is when we become familiar with something, it loses its meaning, its significance. And so what I want us to do is just to stop right now and ask God's Spirit to speak and minister to our hearts through this passage this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart this morning. Lord, You know where they're at. You know the struggles in their life. You know the reason and the purposes You created them for. Lord, we pray that you would convict people that need to be convicted, encourage people who need to be encouraged, that you would challenge, that you would begin to show people what you've created them for, what you're calling them to be, who you're calling them to be, and where you're calling them to go. Lord, may you use this passage to stir our hearts, to challenge our thinking, to make a difference in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a pivotal point, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, in the life of Christ. He's just spent the past 3 years, 24/7, nonstop with the disciples, preparing them for this moment when he was going to ascend into heaven and to leave them to carry on the mission that he had called them to. And he lets them know very clear what this mission is, that their mission is to make disciples of all nations. In order for our ordinary lives to have eternal value and significance, we must take seriously this command of Christ. These marching orders were not just for the disciples, but for each one of his followers. Jesus is not making a suggestion. He is giving a command. For you and I not to live out this command to make disciples of all nations is disobedience. Jesus is not making a suggestion to the spiritual elite. This is not a call for people who are pastors or missionaries. This is a command given to all Christians for all generations. So if our ordinary lives are going to be used for God's extraordinary purposes, we must answer two questions this morning. The first question is this: am I a disciple of Christ? You see, you and I are not born into God's family. We don't become a disciple of Jesus just because our parents were. Each of us needs to come to the point in the life where we choose to become a disciple of Him. This process begins by looking to Christ to be our Savior, to recognize that we need to be rescued because of our sin, that we need to be rescued from the consequences of our sin, from the wrath of God. But becoming a disciple of Christ is not just trusting in Him for the forgiveness of our sins. It's coming to Him as our master, as our teacher. The very nature of the word disciple means that we are following somebody. We are becoming like somebody. The implication of being a disciple of Christ is that you will become like Christ. A disciple of Christ will reflect the values, the priorities, and the heart of Christ. A disciple of Christ will share in His mission. A disciple of Christ will not be living for himself or this world, but for Christ and His kingdom. A disciple of Christ will have a life that is characterized by love, by obedience, and self-sacrifice. If you're a disciple of Christ, it should be noticeable. People should see Christ in you. People will notice that you live by different values than this world. They might even think you're a little strange. Take that as a compliment, because they see that your values are not the same as the world's. So are you a disciple of Christ? Can you look back at a time in your life when you said, yes, I'm going to become a disciple of Jesus. I'm not going to live for myself and my kingdom anymore. I'm going to give my life to living for Christ and His kingdom. The first step for some of you this morning, in order to have ordinary lives that are going to accomplish extraordinary purposes, is to settle the question in your heart, am I a disciple of Christ? But the second question that we want to take the majority of the time this morning to think about is this: what does making disciples of all nations look like for me? What does it look like in your life? In your life's circumstances, making disciples will look different for each of us. Making disciples for high school students is going to look different than it is going to be for a grandparent. Making disciples for a widow is going to look different than it's going to be for an elementary student. Making disciples is going to look different for each one of us. That's the way God created us to be the body of Christ, the family of God. He gave us different passions. He gave us different desires, different gifts, different abilities. He placed us in different families, in different communities, in different locations. So making disciples of all nations is going to look different for all of us, but what's it going to look like for you? Where God has placed you? It's an oxymoron to be a disciple of Christ who is not making disciples of all nations. It's who we are. It's what we're about. It's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ makes disciples. It's the core to our existence. It's the core to our purpose. It's why He hasn't taken us home to be with Him, because we have this mission to carry out. Okay, it's going to look different for each one of us, but at the same time, there's going to be some common denominators involved in that disciple-making process. The first common denominator is it will involve multiplication. The plan that Jesus had to impact the world was built on spiritual multiplication. Jesus was banking on the fact that the 11 disciples, Jesus didn't go to a mass rally and organize hundreds and thousands of people to carry out His mission. He started with 11. He was banking on the fact that the 11 disciples would multiply themselves, that they would make disciples who would make disciples who would make disciples who would make disciples, and that the chain would continue on into all nations, into all generations. And here we are, part of that process. So let me ask you, how are you and where are you in that multiplication process? Who were the people who discipled you? Who were you discipling? As I thought about this week, I had to think over here of Jeff Gingrich. Go back many years. I was 19, 20 years old. Jeff Gingrich had just moved back in the area. He'd come off staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. And for whatever reason, he took an interest in me and invited me and a couple other guys to meet with him at Shorty Mac's Ice Cream. Okay, remember that place? Some of you don't remember it. But they used to have picnic tables outside this ice cream place on the edge of Lancaster, and we used to study and pray together. The things that men invested in Jeff through his involvement as Campus Crusade for Christ, he was now investing in me. A few years later, I had the opportunity to be a small group leader in a college-age Bible studies. One of the guys that I happened to have in my group was a guy by the name of Matt McAlonis. When I first met Matt, he was a college student at Penn State University. And don't tell his dad up there in the sound room, but he was a big partier, okay? He wasn't living for the Lord, but God began to work in his heart. And he came back from college. He became part of our Bible study on a regular basis. God was working in his life. He became an apprentice leader, assistant leader. And pretty soon he was leading his own small group of guys. And he's still leading a small group of guys. So you see this multiplication of disciple making. Guys invested in Jeff Gingrich. Jeff invested in my life. By God's grace, I had the opportunity to invest in Matt McAlonis' life. And now there are guys who are being discipled by Matt. It's a multiplication process. So think about, what does making disciples look like in your life in terms of multiplication? Who are you investing in? Another common denominator is that it will involve going. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. If you look at the Greek, the original language, it would read, therefore, as you go. In other words, as you go through life, make disciples. As you go through your week, make disciples. As you go through your day, make disciples. Too often when we think of disciple making, we think of classes, we think of church, we think of buildings, we think of coming here. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, therefore, as you go, make disciples. As you live. Some of you might be saying, Jeff, what do you mean by making disciples? Let me make it real simple for you. Making disciples is helping people come to Christ and then helping people grow and mature in their relationship with Christ. So as you go through life, help others come to Christ to understand the grace and forgiveness that they can have in their life, and help them to become like Christ. As you interact with people in day-to-day lives, make disciples. Making disciples as you go does not happen naturally. It's something we must be intentional about. One of the things that you would notice if you would look at my calendar for a given month, you would see that I spend time with people who don't know and worship Christ. You would see that I spend time with people who are new in their faith with Christ. The reason I do that is not because I'm a pastor. It's because what God has called me to do, to help people come to Christ, to help people grow and mature in their relationship with Christ. You see, it'd be really easy for me as a pastor to get involved in the day-to-day affairs of this church and miss the whole reason why Christ has me on this earth, to miss the mission that Christ has called me to make disciples. If I'm honest with you this morning, from my perspective, the American church has not been good at carrying out this mission. And let's lump Community Bible Church in the American church. We become really good at running programs. We've been really good at groups. We've been really good at events. We've developed performances and teams. But we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing with the mission? How are we doing at making disciples who make disciples? How are we doing with helping people come to Christ and grow in Christ? Take a look at this video as it illustrates what going should look like. Do you get the picture? You get the picture of what Christ is calling us to? Here at Community Bible Church, that's who we want to be. That's what we want to live out. We want to be Christ's presence in our communities, in our homes, and around the globe. We want to take seriously the mission He's given us to make disciples of all nations. As we continue to think about what are the common denominators, it involves multiplication. It also involves going. Thirdly, it involves baptism and teaching. Now, some of you may say, and Jeff, help me understand a little bit the gist of what Christ is saying here. To me, if I take baptizing and teaching, I can lump them all into this thought. Christ is communicating to His disciples that He doesn't just want converts. You know what I mean by a convert? When someone says, oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, and then they don't do anything with it. Jesus is saying that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for people who are going to be disciples, who make disciples. And if you're going to be a disciple, you have to do what? You have to identify with Christ. You have to publicly declare that, hey, I'm a Christian. Publicly declare that you are a follower of Him. That process of identifying with Christ and His death and resurrection, identifying with His cause, helps develop spiritual maturity, particularly in families and countries where there's a cost involved in identifying with Christ. When you identify with Christ, it's a step of spiritual maturity. The same as, that's what teaching is. We said, teach them to obey all the things that I have commanded. Teach them that loving God with all of their heart, soul, and mind is the greatest commandment. Teach them that the second greatest commandment is to love others. Because as people obey God's commands, they're going to grow, they're going to mature, they're going to become disciples. They're not going to just be converts. And so what we need to be about is not just getting people to say, yeah, I follow Jesus, and not doing anything with it. We need to be committed to the relational process of helping people become disciples. That's going to involve baptism. That's going to involve teaching. It's going to involve identifying with Christ. It's going to involve doing everything that Christ has commanded. A fourth common denominator is that it will involve all nations. Jesus wanted the disciples to know that they were not supposed to make disciples of only the Jewish people, the Jewish race, but that He wanted and was calling them to take God's heart to various countries and places. For some of you, if you're like me and you think about, okay, what does making disciples look like for me? When I get to this part of all nations, it gets a little overwhelming for me. I say, man, I am already busy. I already have too much to do. I mean, I live here. How in the world can I even fathom making a difference and being involved in all nations? But at the same time, I have to step back and say, you know what? There wasn't conditions put on this. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, go and make disciples of all nations. Here at CBC, we want to avoid two extremes when it comes to disciple making. There are some people who can get so involved in the all nations part of the mission that they give all of their time, their energy, their money, their prayer to missions, and they forget the fact that they have family members, that they have neighbors, that there's people that they see every day in the workplace who need to come to Christ, who need to be a disciple of Christ. And they're simply just focused on this. And then the category that I would probably say that I tend to fit into is just the opposite. I spend a large percentage of my time focused on this community where I'm placed, and forget about the fact that God has called us to make disciples of all nations. And where we need to be, if we're going to carry out the mission of Christ, is we need to bring those two things together. We need to be concerned with our families, members, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers who need Christ, who need to come to Christ, who need to grow in Christ. But at the same time, we need to recognize that that's not enough. God has created us. God has purposes. God has assignments for you that are not just for this community. How's that for an amazing thought? That God has created you to touch and to make a difference around the globe. You say, Jeff, what does that possibly look like in our day-to-day lives? I'm going to brag about my wife, Michelle, a little bit. She's like, oh, great. Most of you were here for the Mission Sunday. And we highlighted global media outreach. We talked about the fact that you could be an online missionary, that there's a website where people can come to around the globe and ask their questions to what does it mean to be a Christian, questions about the Bible. And as people bring those questions to the website, they're then forwarded to various people who are online missionaries. And so after that Sunday, Michelle says to me, she's like, Jeff, she says, I think I'm going to sign up to be part of that. And so over the past couple of weeks, it's been really cool because when I come home and I say, Michelle, how was your day? Not every day, but a lot of days, what she'll say to me is, Jeff, you should see this email that I got. And she'll name the country. And she'll share her response. And right now, she's still in the training process. So there's somebody who oversees and sees the questions and sees her answers. And she tells me about the dialogue she has with her trainer. Here she is, a homemaker, mother of three, living in Maytown, and she has the opportunity to answer questions of people around the globe. The goal this morning is not for all of you to go out and become an online missionary with global media outreach. Some of you may want to check into that. But the question is, what does it look like for me? What does it look like in my life and in my circumstances? Another common denominator is making disciples will involve the Holy Spirit. Take a look at the promise that Christ concludes this mission with. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is speaking and referencing the Holy Spirit who will come and indwell his disciples, his followers. Jesus is assuring his disciples that they will not be alone in the disciple-making process because he understood that they could not do it themselves. And some of you this morning may be saying, Jeff, I am like so overwhelmed. You have no idea all the stuff I've got to deal with in my life. How in the world can I ever be involved in making disciples? What did we say last week? God uses people, despite their issues, despite their struggles, to accomplish extraordinary purposes. Why? Because it's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon God's Spirit living in and through us. The role of the Holy Spirit in making disciples of all nations is so critical that we could not just teach on this passage and take a few minutes to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. As Pastor Jim and Pastor Todd and I met a few months ago and we began to lay out this 7-week sermon series, we said, you know what? We need to give a whole week to focusing on the role of the Holy Spirit in making disciples of all nations. Pastor Jim is going to be teaching and preaching next week, and he shared with me this past week to the passage in Acts that God has led him to. The book of Acts is all about the mission and carrying out the mission that God has given to us. And throughout the book of Acts, we see the role of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jim is excited about coming and giving a very practical lesson. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of our believers? And how does it relate to the mission that he's given us? But this morning, again, I want to come back to the two questions that I want us to think about. The first question is, am I a disciple of Christ? If you are a disciple of Christ and you've never been baptized, my guess is that would be the next step for you. That would be the step that you need to take to identify with Christ, to publicly declare to family, to friends, to everybody here, that I am a disciple of Christ. Some of you might say, well, Jeff, I was baptized when I was an infant. Doesn't that count? I'll take you back to this passage. I'll take you back to the Scriptures. Do you think that's what Jesus was talking about? It seems to me Jesus was pretty clear as you look throughout Scriptures that baptism is about publicly declaring your identification with Christ. So if you've taken that step and you say, yes, I'm a disciple of Christ, and you've never been baptized, we're going to give you the opportunity to do so. Sunday, June 3rd, going to be a baptism service. If you're interested, contact the church office, Amy Conley. You can call, you can email. And in fact, if you don't have time to write down, if you look at the bulletin, there's a brief section in there. Maybe God's asking you this morning to identify with Him through baptism, to let everybody know that, yes, I am a disciple of Christ. But the second question is this. What does making disciples look like in my life? I had to be asking myself that question. It was a challenging week. What does making disciples look like in the life of Jeff Burkholder? I didn't expect where my thoughts went as I wrestled with that question, as I wrestled with this text, as I thought about that question. But here's where my mind and heart went. I am a father of three. First and foremost, making disciples relates to my role as a father. It forced me to process and think about what are the goals, what are the expectations, what am I parenting towards and for? What do I want the outcome to be in my children? Is it that I want them to do really well and excel in school? Is it that I want them to do really well and excel in athletics? Is it that I want them to be respected in the community? Is it that I just want them to stay out of trouble? Is it that I want them to go to college? What is the goal that I have for my children? Seems to me that it's really not for me to decide. Seems to me that God has made it clear in the Scriptures that my responsibility as a father is to make disciples. I can't control their choices. I can't control their outcome. I certainly don't get it right all of the time. But it clarified in my mind this week what I'm praying towards, what I'm working towards. Hopefully what I'm modeling towards. What does it look like for you? I couldn't believe the email I got yesterday. It's an email that someone asked me to take a look at and see if it was clear before she sent it out to the CBC family. And I emailed her back and I said, hey, can I share this this morning? And she said, yeah. Here's the email that she's going to send out. She says, hello, dear friends. I'm writing to invite you to become involved in a cause that God has laid on my heart in an answer to prayer. Several months ago, I began praying about Christ's call to be involved in reaching all nations. Let me read that again. Several months ago, I began praying about Christ's call to be involved in reaching all nations. I don't believe that it is a call for some of us, but all of us. I didn't pay her to say this, okay? She didn't write this for this message. She was just asking me to critique it to make sure it was clear before she sent it out. As a primarily stay-at-home mom of four who can barely keep my head above waters as it is, I prayed, Lord, I have no idea what this looks like for me. Please show me and give me eyes to see it. That's what we need to be doing this morning. That's your takeaway. To pray to God and say, God, you've created me for extraordinary purposes to make disciples of all nations. God, show me what that looks like. Make it really, really clear. She goes on to say, God has given me the gift of compassion. I have often wondered if it is a gift or a curse. Because I, as I have learned so often, if I can't put hands and feet to my compassion, it just leaves me brokenhearted. Modern-day slavery, particularly child sex trafficking, is one area that wrenches my heart. In the past, I have been the one who has turned a blind eye to issues such as this because it's too disturbing to think about, and I felt helpless to do anything about it. However, I am reminded that my God is so big and can take my small acts of obedience and do big things with them. As I prayed, I was made aware of Operation Mobilizations, the Freedom Climb. The Freedom Climb began with its first climb in January 2012, where women across the globe ascended Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa in order to raise awareness, prayers, and finances for women and children being oppressed, enslaved, exploited, and trafficked. She goes on to give a paragraph, statistics, about the great need. And she ends like this, I will be participating in the Freedom Climb on Saturday, May 12th, in the city of Atlanta, which is one of the foremost hubs of sex trafficking in the United States, with 400 to 500 children being trafficked there each month. I'm not asking for personal sponsorship, rather I'm asking you to seek to become involved in one or more of the following ways, and then she lists them through various websites. Here's a mother of four who, in her own words, is just trying to keep her head above the water, who understands that this mission is for all of us. And so she prayed to God, God, show me what making disciples of all nations looks like in my life. Here's how God's leading her. What's it going to look like in your life? To help us to understand that it's going to look different in each of our lives, I've asked 10 individuals to come and in one or two sentences articulate what making disciples looks like in their life. So, Carolyn?